Hear our reading for this morning, taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 7th chapter. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There are very few rags-to-riches stories as spectacular as the one I'm going to tell you about today. Her name is Kim Pajula. And it starts from how we know her story. On Christmas Eve in 1974, there was a couple living in upstate New York that had been wanting to adopt a child for a number of months. And finally, they got a phone call that night that a little girl from Korea was on her way to the United States. If they wanted her, she could be their daughter. Well, they were pretty excited. This little girl, Kim, back in Seoul, South Korea, had been dropped off one day at a park right next to the police station, which apparently is not uncommon for very poor parents that feel they can't take care of their children. Her mom and dad abandoned her in a park when she was 5. And she was brought to the police station and ultimately put into the orphanage system over in South Korea, which is better than some countries, but still not so great. And apparently had suffered some malnutrition because of this as well. Well, unbeknown to this little Kim, as she was flying across the Pacific Ocean to JFK Airport in New York, unbeknown to her, as she sat with a little bag on her lap, her entire earthly possessions, which was a pair of shoes, the parents she was coming to owned a beautiful home in suburban Rochester, New York. They had a couple of older boys already, and she had no idea the kind of home that she was going to be coming to. Because she had grown up in such poverty and because she'd been abandoned, little Kim felt very uncertain about her life. And even months after she started living with this new family, they would go into her closet and find food stuffed into her shoes and stuck in hiding places in her closet because she was afraid that she was not going to have enough to eat someday, knowing what had happened to her earlier in her life. And here her family had already included her in their will and had a tremendous home for her and wonderful plans for her life. She's a little bit of a picture of us. By God's grace, you and I have been adopted by our Heavenly Father. We've been made his own dear children. He has qualified us to be citizens of heaven, the Bible says, by his doing, not by ours. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, "God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law," that's us, "so that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters of God." And he says, "You are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter of God." And this has all been just given to us. It's just been granted to us. Like that little girl, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything for it. God just comes along and because of his grace has done that for us, made us his own by giving you faith in Christ in your heart. Now, just like that little child, Sometimes, if you're like me, we question our standing before God. We question this new status that we have before God. And that happens for a number of reasons. It may happen because we reflect on our own weaknesses and sins, because we don't see this Christianness inside of us that we know that we should. It may be because things don't always work out the way we want in our lives right now. And maybe the plans that we have for our lives don't always seem to fit. It may be because our station in life is really not that great. And maybe we're living in kind of a beaten down state, if you will. One of the built-in problems that we have as Christians is we don't see our own new station with God. We don't see our holiness, for instance. The very white robes of our Lord's righteousness that cover us are invisible to our eyes. And we don't feel like Christians. A lot of times we don't feel like we are the children of God. But notice what John says about Christians. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. That's why St. Paul, whenever he writes to Christians in different churches, calls them saints. To the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Colossae, he always refers to them as holy ones. And he says to us, those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. That's God's view of us. And that's why when Jesus is so often talking to his humble faithful who maybe sometimes are beaten down by the world, he'll often refer to them that they are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Martin Luther said this, Christendom, that means viewing Christianity in the world, Christendom will not be known by sight, but by faith. A Christian is even hidden from himself. He does not see his holiness and virtue, but sees in himself nothing but unholiness and vice. You see, the holiness you and I possess isn't here. It's in heaven. It's in the eyes of God looking at us through Christ. A Christian is not righteous because of some substance that is to be found in us, but it's because of our relationship to the only one who is pure and righteous. Let me bring you to the modern day conclusion of that little Kim's story. So her parents had tremendous plans for her. Her parents plotted out a nice education for her and a very comfortable life. They saw her completely different in their eyes than she saw herself. Today, she's about 48 years old and she's now married. And along with her husband, she is the co-owner of the NFL's Buffalo Bills football team. And she is worth, her net worth is in the billions of dollars. Now, I want for just a minute to imagine that you could go back to when she was flying over here on the airplane, and if you were sitting right next to her on that airplane, that little five-year-old, and ask her what she imagines the most wonderful home could ever be that she could live in. Be interesting to know what her description of it then and her imagination would have been like compared to what she now actually gets to experience because of God's doing in her life. When St. John in our text gives us a description of the beautiful home into which we've been adopted and the life that God has planned out for us in eternity, it is beyond anything we can imagine. Just meditate for a second on these words again. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We don't always feel that in this life, but that's what we have. I want to conclude by talking about what I call a sacred time that happens in our church services in my local church. And that is at the end of the distribution of the Lord's Supper, when our pastors have to come down into the pews to visit the people who are so infirm, their bodies are so broken that they can't come up that far to the communion rail and kneel down. So here they are, they just look like the most beaten down individuals that there are, receiving the body and blood of their Lord, and all the rest of us in the church are singing them into heaven. We're singing them into these verses. And just for some of them, in a matter of months, they may be experiencing that very thing. But right now, how different the world seems. You, as a believer in Christ, are the greatest rags-to-riches story the world will ever know. Just enjoy that. Live it out. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. O Lord, you know my laziness, and you know how much would hinder me in the course of my life. Waken me and strengthen me and help me to deny and renounce all the things that hinder my salvation. Show me even now as much of the glory to come that I may rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and continue steadfastly in prayer. Grant me faithfulness and lead me forth to the final goal. Amen.